Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
He is a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island. With your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
All right, hey man, woo! Brand new week on Tama's Island podcast. I'm your host, Tama Tonga, and the CV, Culture Vulture. Did I say that right? I have trouble every week saying that, Culture Vulture. What's the other one, Folklore King?
The folk city FK. Hustler, the culture vulture. I got plenty of names.
Tom will get it sooner or later. He'll come around and get it. He'll get it.
Ross Behrman, my co-host. And we got a special guest in today. We brought him this week, man. I think he'll be a nice treat for you guys. He's somebody that's been shit. He's been awesome in the music industry. He does his own shit, man. He inspired the whole, well, I helped inspire, but he put it together. The entrance for the Gorillas of Destiny firing squad track, entrance track, Tim Williams, also known as No Name Tim. What's up, man? Welcome.
Tama, my brother. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Blessed introduction right there. It's kind of like how we're talking off camera, you know, me and you were texting back and forth, just kind of shooting the shit, checking in on each other. And then you hit me with the, hey, would you ever want to come on the podcast? And I took that step back and thought, one, yes, of course. And two, how have we not done this already? So super happy to be here, man.
Yes, yeah. Man. You know, I know. How have we not done this already? Well, you know, there was a pandemic and I thought it would be sooner, but we were all trying to figure it out, throwing shit at the wall.
That's true.
But I'm glad to have you here, man. Thank you very much. And you, of course, you already met my man, Ross. Before the show started. Hey, you know, we were talking about this, guys. We were talking before we came live. What are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about music. I said, man, we can talk about anything we want, man, about aliens, whatever the hell. Can we get a starter? Throw some shit up in the air. Let me lay it up for somebody. Stir some shit up. We're going to talk about anything and everything. But first, Ross wants to cue us up, man. What's going on in the pro wrestling industry? And Tim, I know you watch. I know you're a big wrestling fan. You know, let me hear what you got to say too, man.
That I am. I'm always down to put my two cents in, you know. Oh. will people like it? Will they not? I mean, that's up to them, you know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't start off as we record this. It is Tuesday, August 31st. So I would be remiss if I didn't start this Tuesday by bringing up the discourse du jour going on right now in the wrestling world, which is Nia Jax. It seems every few months, Nia Jax, I don't know, the way I look at it, every few months, Nia Jax remembers that she is big enough to kick some people's asses. And then a bunch of wrestling fans go, oh my God, this wrestler is possibly committing acts of violence in this wrestling match. And everyone clutches their pearls and shares a bunch of videos. Yeah, and then shares a bunch of videos. And then they stop thinking about it for a few months. And then it happens again. Well, it happened this Monday on Raw. She was in a match with Charlotte Flair in which Nia Jax and Charlotte Flair just started, it seemed like they just started throwing some hands with each other. I mean, basically, you had a pretty back and forth pro wrestling match, and then right towards the end they just get mad at each other, they start really fighting, and then Nia Jax just tosses Charlotte Flair to the ground, pins her 1-2-3, and I don't know, she kind of reminded me of a certain beast incarnate known as Brock Lesnar, or maybe your Scott or Rick Steiner, or I don't know, Dr. Death Steve Williams, a lot of those hosses that you remember throwing people around with reckless abandon that made everyone go, oh yeah, this is wrestling. Apparently, when Nia Jax does it, it's terrible, and she's unsafe, yada yada yada. Hear all the nonsense that you hear about Nia Jax. So let's talk about it, Tim. Let's baptize you in fire, baby. What do you think of Nia Jax? What do you think of the stuff going on with Nia Jax?
At the end of the day, it kind of comes back to, for me, to what you were just saying right there. The guys you mentioned, like, mm-hmm. there have been stiff workers for years, and guys who have just laid into people. Yep. And I mean, let her do her thing. She dropped some bombs last night.
Them up,
I mean, she dropped some serious bombs last night.
Yep.
And it, to be honest, for me, it worked.
Right. I'm completely in the same bandwagon. Like, I had to go back and watch this match because I didn't watch Raw last night. So I had to seek it out, and I watched it. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh my God, this is match of the year. It's the greatest match ever. But it was more damn fun than I've had watching a Raw match in a very long time. I mean, it had some emotion to it. It had some, it had some grit and some heart. I don't know. What'd you think, Tom?
Yes, Ross. I like that grit. I like that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it makes you question shit like, oh damn, you done messed up, Charlotte. When homegirl stepped, she stepped in the middle of the ring, said, don't. I said, oh shit, somebody get smacked. It came with the two piece. With a two piece. Damn, rocked Charlotte off with damn buns, man. What happened? But that's what I like. I like seeing that. I like a girl that puts some assertiveness into her shit. My pop was big on that, man. When we started training, my pop was big on, like, girls have to be meaner than guys when they get in that ring. To perform at a level, you have to become realistic. You have to perform at that kind of level. And when he trained with big girls, he wanted them to beat him up, like really lay it in, because that's the only, like, believability. And yes, Nia, I like that shit. Throw in those haymakers, throw in those two pieces of soda, man. I like that. Bring that shit, bring it heavy too. And Charlotte can take that because she's the champ, right? Right? Yeah. She's a
big
champ.
Time.
Well, was she? Did she lose it already?
Yeah,
I can't keep up with WWE anymore, man. Somebody has it for like 27 hours and then it's gone with the championship. But
that's the thing. She wasn't just battering her opponent. She was fighting the champion and making sure the champion knows that, like, look, I'm coming for you. You better be ready for the fact that, like, yes, maybe Charlotte Flair can beat Nia Jax in a wrestling match, but it's not necessarily true that Charlotte Flair can beat Nia Jax in a fight. And I feel like Nia Jax is bringing the fight to the women's division.
Yes.
Which I love, because look, I don't care what gender you are. If you're bigger than most of your opponents, you should be the kind of person that says, you have to move me. I'm not going to just move. And I think that's where Nia is coming in. She's finally realizing that, like, she doesn't have to be ashamed of the fact that she could kick everyone's ass in the women's division. Carry yourself like a goddamn monster. I love it.
You're the biggest girl on the damn roster. Pull yourself like that. From here on out, everybody, you should be the champ, Nia. You should be you're the biggest person in there. Hey, you're bigger than most dudes. You need to be the champ. And if whoever you're fighting against, they need to look like they're climbing a damn mountain, man. That's what it is.
And I like it. I like the physicality of it. I like Nia. I like the attitude. I've always liked it. And everybody talking about that she can't work. Oh, it's wrestling. Stop with that shit. Oh, you're in your little dirt sheets and you know about wrestling this and wrestling that. Shut the hell up. You don't know shit. That's what I like. Let's go. Woo! I'm hot. Let's go. Throw up some layups.
At the end
man.
Of the day,
throw
too.
Layups.
At the end of the day, too, what do we have here? Like, we've got people saying, well, is it a work? Is it a shoot? Is it what happened? Did you know what was the what was this plan? Was this a planned out thing between the two of them? It's got people talking about a product that people have not been too excited about for a long time. So at the end, who's to say, other than the people on the inside, what happened or what's going on? You know, so we just got to take it at face value and what it is.
Absolutely. No, I'm glad you brought up those questions, Tim, because like as a journalist, we are always told to ask the who, the what, the why, the where, the when, how. What a wrestling match is supposed to inspire is this real? Are they actually mad at each other? Do they like these are all of the questions wrestling fans should be asking during a match. Don't get me wrong. I am glad that there are people who can go out there and have a wrestling match and never hurt somebody. Just in the same way that I like that there are people that can go out there and, you know, be an actor, fake some emotions and you know, get the paycheck. But when you actually get me to believe, when you actually get me to say, oh, this is going beyond the script. This is going beyond the pre. This might be someone showing me their true colors. Oh, that's what any kind of performance is about.
This wasn't in the rehearsal. Why wasn't this in the rehearsal? Oh, no.
That's why people like SNL is because they want that moment where it feels real, that moment where it, you know, you see through the makeup, you see through the paint. And so I think
all props to Nia. That's the wrestling that's missing a lot from these, you know, I know a lot of old school guys, let me bring up like Cornette and all them. They're all into, they don't like the spots, right? Yep. Like, you know, old school, you should just go in there, you know, the finish and that let's go, let's duke it out, you know, and then call things inside the ring. This is kind of like that. It's not fully, but it makes you question like, oh shit, wait a minute. That didn't look like a high spot. That looked like they were off doing their own little thing. What the hell's going on? Ooh, a smack. Damn. 1, 2, 3. All right. I like that. I like it, Ross. I'm with it. I know you're with it. Tim, are you with it?
I'm with it. Let me ask you guys a question.
Ask away.
On your own podcast. Yeah. If it was in any other promotion, do you think, or with any other two individuals, do you think it would be as big a deal?
No. I think if it was any other promotion but WWE, everyone would be saying, oh man, Nia Jax is someone they should be belting up right now. Cause she,
like, oh shit, they beat the shit out of each other last night. This is crazy. I wonder if they really got some heat. That would be it.
Yep. No, I did not invoke these names. I just pulled them out of thin air. Like, she was wrestling like Brock Lesnar in that end of the match there where she just starts, you know, where she really starts standing up for herself. And there's a reason that people believe Lesnar more than they do Cena. There's a reason they believe Lesnar more than they do Orton. Orton and Cena are two of the best wrestlers in the world, period. But Brock Lesnar is someone people believe in because they let him look uncooperative. They let him look like you have to just kind of go in there and maybe he's going to let you do the stuff you normally do in a match, but probably he's just going to throw you around. And that is what really, that's the hook. And if they can give that to Anaya, they almost gave it to Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey inspired that kind of pearl clutching where people were like, I don't know if she knows that this is a work. And like, that's good. That's how it should.
That's what you
should be thinking. Yep. And so I'm all about it. It's just
Nia
fantastic.
Lesnar's the new deal here. I like it. That's it.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Nia Lesnar. I love it. I'm going to be turning into wrestling Twitter's version, just the leave Nia alone guy. But Nia Jax, not the only woman in the world of wrestling making a big splash this weekend. In fact, a lot of women in the world of wrestling made a big splash this weekend because the NWA, as part of their 73rd anniversary weekend down in St. Louis at the Chase, they held Empower, an event that, honestly, was everything that they had promised it was going to be, and then more. It really felt like a celebration of all of the women's wrestling that has happened outside of WWE, specifically with the TNA Knockouts division. You had moments like Awesome Kong announcing her retirement and tearfully hugging Gail Kim as two rivals truly embrace over their legacy. You had stuff like Mickey James kind of promoting the entire event and really getting this buzz that the main NWA event hasn't gotten. I mean, just really it was night and day, the promotion for Empower versus the promotion for the 73rd anniversary weekend. But the matches were good. The show was great. And it felt like a real statement. I don't know, Tim, what'd you kind of think of all the buzz the NWA got this weekend for Empower?
I mean, at the end of the day, any good buzz for wrestling is good buzz. You know, regardless of the promotion or who's running it or what it is, you know, everybody wins whenever, you know, it's kind of out there in the in the grand ethos of thing. I didn't get a chance to watch Empower, but I did get a chance to see updates and see clips and that sort of thing. And from what I can tell, it was just perfectly well done, well executed, top to bottom. You had great moments, like you mentioned, the Awesome Kong stuff. I saw the bits of the Layla Hirsch. Layla had a coming out party, and anybody who was kind of questioning her kind of getting put in a position like that pretty much got shut the fuck up.
Honestly, both
this weekend,
if we're going to talk about the Layla Hirsch Camille match, both of those women had a real coming out, because Layla Hirsch had a great match against Camille, but Camille herself had not only did she do Layla Hirsch at Power, but the 73rd anniversary, she beat Chelsea Green. And both of those matches, I think, really went way beyond people's expectations. I think Camille has kind of gotten the short end of the stick with the NWA, because she's really grown as a wrestler over the course of their Power series. But they haven't been able to get the kind of hooks in people for the NWA proper that they have for Empower. Empower really felt like this big event, and it really, I mean, I said it on Twitter, Mickey James should be the face of the NWA right now, way that she connects with people. She really is so damn good at what she does. And it also, the fact that the NWA had their 73rd anniversary show that still had big time women's matches on the card after there was a full night of women's matches. They didn't just say, all right, you guys got your pay-per-view, now bring on the men. They had Mickey James versus Kylie Rae was one match that was fantastic. They had, like you said, Camille versus Chelsea Green. And so it really felt like the women of the NWA came out of this weekend looking fantastic. I don't know, Tommy, you're nodding. What'd you kind of think of the buzz?
That's what I felt too. Because I'm with Tim. Tim, I didn't watch it either. All right, but what I saw on social media is that mostly about the women. The NWA, what you heard about NWA was about the women. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been making noise. I haven't heard nothing about anything else but that.
And let's really hang a lampshade on this, because not only did the women kind of take it away, it's not like there were small things happening at the 73rd anniversary show. The 73rd anniversary show saw Trevor Murdoch defeat Nick Aldis, ending his over 1,000-day hundred-day reign with the title in front of his family. It was he had put his career on the line if he didn't win. Like, it was this big moment, but no one.
Normally that's a big, and it big thing to make some waves right there.
Yes, and I watched both shows. It was a very good match. It was a very good moment. But, I mean, Empower overshadowed everything. Another huge moment they had, Ric Flair is back in the NWA. Woo! Ric Flair, the multiple-time NWA champion, is back in the NWA. He gets into the NWA ring, says Billy Corgan told him he could say whatever he wants. And so he decides to say,
"Oh no."
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I love Vince McMahon. I love Triple H. Stephanie McMahon was always cool to me. I love the WWE. WWE was a great place. He thanked Shawn Michaels for carrying him to a great match at WrestleMania 24. He just stood there in his Ric Flair way in the middle of an NWA ring talking about how much he loved the WWE and how grateful he was for the WWE and how he wanted Randy Orton to beat his record. But now that Charlotte's almost there, he's like, Charlotte's going to be the one I'm happy for.
Come on, man. Like, that's like that moment at the barbecue where you got to grab like your dad or your grandpa. It's like, shut up. Let me like distract you and place you over here real quick.
At one of my uncle's weddings, the photographer got very drunk and got up and gave a speech about how the photographer gets on stage and goes, me and the bride, we had our relationship. It was a good time. That's what this nature boy thing felt like. It felt like the drunk uncle showing up and being like, I sure do miss my ex-wife. She was great. I'm sure you two kids are going to be very happy. I'm sure marriage will work out great for you, but I miss my ex.
Come on, Rick.
Just to add insult to injury, so no one told the NWA that also Sprock Zarathustra is a free rights song. Like, you can just kind of have anyone use that song, the Ric Flair theme. It's classical music. It's public domain.
Yeah, public domain. Just let him out. Yeah,
they made him a real generic classical entrance theme anyway, just because they didn't want to step on. It was and this is what I mean. Empower was so good. Was just this real standout moment, and then the NWA 73rd, it did not live up. Like, I'm really at the point where I'm just saying, you know what, put Mickie James in charge of the NWA, make them a women's only promotion for like a little bit. All of their female talent are killing it. They're getting all this promotion, they're getting all this buzz. They threw Ric Flair a title switch and so much more stuff at the wall at the 73rd, and people were still talking about Empower, and that's glaring to me. I want every pro wrestling company to do well. I want this to, you know, really be a rising tide, raising all boats. I want WWE to be watchable. I want AEW to be watchable. I want NWA to be watchable. But man, they let the air out of the balloon with the Ric Flair promo, and the crowd just never came back for some reason. It was real. It was tough. It was a tough weekend for the NWA.
What's the plan? I want to know, what's the plan with Rick? Is that you said they did a title change with him?
Well, because Trevor Murdoch won the title, and Ric Flair was out there to present it. And Rick's just kind of he's touring now. He was in AAA for AAA Mania when he chopped Kenny Omega. Now he's in the NWA. I'm sure he mentioned that he's going to go have a drink with Tony Khan in Chicago. So it sounds like Ric Flair is going to be AEW bound. And so he's having a tour. I don't know what the end game in here is, because it's Ric Flair. He might still be like, I'm ready to go. I got one more run in me.
There might be no end game, right? It just might be, hey, it's Rick being Rick, and he's just doing Rick stuff. Let's be honest.
Which I'm not against it. Rick stuff is always fun. I like Rick being Rick, but it does You got to rein him in. You get someone, yeah. You can't tell Rick to just do whatever he wants, because then you get him standing in the NWA ring saying, I love the WWE.
There's got to be some sort of check system, right?
Exactly. There's got to be a healthy balance between whatever made Ric Flair leave the WWE and whatever happened at NWA 73. Hopefully Tony Khan can find it, or maybe the family that runs AAA can find it. Someone will find it. Or they won't. Who knows? Maybe it'll be entertaining as hell. Yeah. But we will definitely see. It's a wild weekend, because we're on the road to All Out right now. AEW's mm-hmm. heading, not only are the wrestling world heading to Chicago, AEW's heading to Chicago. They're going to be here Wednesday for Dynamite. They're going to be here Friday for Rampage. And then Sunday is All Out. A lot of hype on All Out so far. You got CM yeah. Punk making his first match in, 7 years? Seven. You got Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage. You got Paul White versus QT Marshall. Let's see what else is there. It's not the card I think a lot of people expected from All Out, especially with the lack of guys like Hangman Page. I don't know, Tim. What do you kind of think of the road to All Out that we're on right now with AEW?
At first, I was kind of like how you mentioned, a lot of people were kind of iffy about how the card was building up. Because a lot of, I feel like the general fandom was like, okay, this is where Hangman gets his moment, right? Yeah. Like, this is going to be it. And when it turned out that it wasn't going to be that way, a lot of people kind of felt let down. But now, when you really look at that card, this card is stacked. Mm-hmm. Top to bottom, stacked with, you've got a bunch of top tier matches, and then you've got other ones that'll kind of like, you know, it'll be just kind of like a quick little boom, boom, and then you're out of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think the build's been phenomenal. I mean, I think obviously the fact Punk coming back would shift a little bit of everything, even if you were originally planning on having Hangman yep. go over in Chicago. Great. But you don't want anything to take away from that being the moment. And at the end of the day, like I said, I think it's a great card. I'm excited for it personally. And I think it's going to be hopefully one of the best shows we've seen in a while.
You might be onto something. Here, let me just run through this card real quick. You got CM Punk versus Darby Allin, Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage. You got Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander for the Women's Championship. Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers in a steel cage. You got Miro versus Eddie Kingston. Chris Jericho versus MJF. Jericho's in-ring career is going to be on the line. Paul White versus QT Marshall in the Factory. Pac versus Andrade, which, I mean, that has a lot of fireworks around it. And then Jon Moxley versus Satoshi Kojima, which is a match I want to talk about, because I feel like Jon Moxley did our boy Kojima a little bit dirty. Because the entire build to this match was Jon Moxley saying, I sent all of these contracts over to New Japan, every single star you could think of, and I got one back, and it was Kojima. And there was something about this promo that Moxley was cut, and it was like, Kojima's not my first choice, but I'm ready to fight him. I'm excited for it. And it's going to be a hell of a match, but I don't know why you have to poison the well like that. Why you have to, don't get me wrong. I'm all for laying out Easter eggs, but this feels like one where they really put Kojima in a situation where he has been on Twitter basically telling American fans, look, you're going to find out how much ass I can kick, but why make it that hard on the leader of Bread Club? I don't know. That's my one it's my one stickler on this Moxley Kojima thing is I don't know if they had to do him that dirty.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, look, people are going to be in for a treat with that match. People that are unfamiliar with Kojima. I know a lot of people were kind of let down because it was, I'm not familiar with that name. It wasn't a quote unquote big name, you know, New Japan guy. Not all of us can be big name New Japan guys like my man Tama Tonga, right? So at the end of the day,
that's right.
But it's people are going to be, I think the two of them are going to go out there and just, they're going to have a banger. They're just going to beat the shit out of each other. Yep. And I think the crowd's going to get into it, and it's just going to be a fun watch.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to make sure I made it clear. Like, it's going to be a hell of a match. Like, this is going to be great. And Kojima has done Kojima is probably one of the best of his generation at social media right now. Because he's it's real simple. Yeah. It's real to the point, and it's very earnest. And for a babyface ass kicker, that's what you need.
Yeah.
And so he has done a great job of, I think, winning people over, but it was that little stickler. Like, why do you have to win people over in the first? Come on.
Treat the
first guy to hold the triple crown in the IWGP championship at the same time. Like the guy who held the triple crown in the IWGP championship at the same time. Am I right, Tom? Am I right? I don't know.
I don't know. Cause I play the Moxley game. You know that, I throw a little poison in the well just to get things stirring, but Kojima, I think that's what makes him great though. Ross is one of the greatest, not the greatest, but one of the ones that's adapted very well to this generation with social media, and one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time. So that's what makes him great. He's able to adapt to all and everything around wrestling. So yeah, man, I like it. I dig it. I've faced Kojima a whole bunch of times, and his arms are the biggest arms I've ever seen on anybody. I said it before. I think he only goes to the gym to work out arms and try, and, you know, and then he, you know, cause there's nothing else. And then, you better watch out, Moxley. You better, because that lariat ain't no fucking joke. I've taken it and my jaw almost came off one time. But we're not going to talk about that. All right. Okay. So
no, that's fine. I didn't want to bring up too many bad memories for you, Tom, but you're right. Kojima's arms are kind of like Steve Austin's legs. I can't remember where he said it, but Austin once said, he's like, if I look at a leg press machine, my legs grow. Like, I don't even have to work them out. I just look at the machine and they start to get, and it feels like Kojima's like that. Like, he can just start thinking and his arms start to get just a little bit bigger. So they're like, oh, we're going to start working out. All right, let's do this. Let's get ready.
You ever seen on his Twitter, like, he has a little chihuahua. He walks around, and when he holds a little chihuahua, his arms is way bigger than his chihuahua. Even with the fur on, he's still bigger than the little chihuahua. Shit.
Master. He's a master of
it. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, the all-out card is, it's going to be wild. There's a lot of independent wrestling that's going to be happening that weekend. Mask mandates are all over Chicago and Cook County, people. So wear your masks. Have some fun. Don't get too wild, but it's going to be a fun weekend. And not only is All Out this weekend, but also New Japan Pro Wrestling is coming to the MetLife Dome for two nights of Wrestle Grand Slam. We finally have cards for that. But one match that they just announced that's very intriguing: Tama, Sho, and Yo will finally face each other. Roppongi 3K breaking up earlier this year. You've talked about how much you like kind of Sho standing up for himself. What do you think of the two of them getting to meet in the dome like this?
This is great. This is the breakaway. This is the breakup right here. This is what we need for them to take their own path. This is it. I love it. We've talked about this for like a year and a half.
Yep. Shit. No, we keep. And here's the thing that I really love about it. Whenever we talked about it, it was always like, oh, Sho should join this group or Sho should join that group, or like breaking them up was always about factions. But here Sho is. He has broken himself away from Yo, and he has sworn allegiance to no one. It's just Sho out there on his own trying to make a statement.
You see these other thirsty assholes trying to get at him on social media? Got a little Peckerwood, Will Ospreay over there trying to throw. Man, shut the hell up. You and what's his name? Hanada, shut the hell up. We got what's the other two? Other two Peckerwoods.
Cobb and Okada. I was going to say, because like Hanare and Ospreay aren't even in the country and they're trying to recruit for United Empire.
No, nobody wants to hang out with you guys. Just stop. Come on, man. Nobody wants to be around you. Come on.
We got Despy throwing out some hints and wants to recruit. Come on, shut the hell up. When did y'all start recruiting? I'm the only one recruiting around here. Y'all better not take my goddamn job.
I was gonna say,
he's recruiting to me. Shit.
I was gonna say, Suzuki Gun doesn't recruit. They just slot someone in when someone gets injured. Like, that's this would be big if they actually do Edge Sho to him. But yeah, it's gonna be, like I said, we got Sho versus Yo on that first night. We've also got your boy Chase Owens gonna be defending that KOPW 2021 Provisional Lofi in an OTU I Quit match against Toru Yano. This is one where I think Yano may have actually screwed up here. Because he said, I'm going to do a no DQ match against a guy from Bullet Club, knowing everything that Bullet Club has done over the past year. I mean, they've got a guy with Dick Togo's running around with piano wire, and Toru Yano's here like, yeah, no, you know what? No DQ match. I think I'll be fine. This will be fine. Like, what do you think? Chase is like one of the few people who've actually wrestled that trophy away from Yano. And now it feels like Yano's giving him an even bigger advantage with this stipulation.
This is the wrong faction to be kind of coming up with those kind of rules, man. We've been running this kind of shit our whole inception.
Right? All I'm saying is if you're gonna die going out like this, like you can't hate the players. Like you can't. You just can't. Like you know what time it is. Like and you're gonna step up in an ODQ. Come on, man.
Even if you take Dick Togo and the rest of Bullet Club out of the equation, Toru Yano's one of his big threats is that he will normally be in a no DQ in a match with DQs and all that kind of stuff, and so that way when he hits that low blow, it's out of nowhere. But now he's in a match where literally they could just spend the entire time both of them kicking each other in the junk. Like they don't have to have offensive moves, and so it feels like Yano has given up. Like no, but you know what I mean. Like Yano has given up an entire advantage there by just saying like, "Oh, we're going to be allowed to do whatever the hell we want to each other."
Uh oh, yeah. Hey, I got the next rules for the next King of Pro Wrestling. Dick kicking match. That's it.
Nothing but dick kicks.
Dick kicks the whole match. Let's go 15 to 30 minutes of just kicking dicks.
Oh my god, it's all perfectly legal. Rochambeau coming to New Japan.
Y'all gotta know better though, man. Because for all he knows, I might show up.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
That's what I'm saying.
I gotta admit that
Yano's the most creative dick kicker I've ever seen. I gotta admit that.
Yep.
He gets creative with it.
There's an art to it.
I'm not saying he's not an art, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying though, when you make them perfectly legal, it takes away the smoke and the mirrors that Yano usually needs to sneak up on his opponent. Now it's just, I don't know. I'm a big member of the Toru Yano Respect Army. Like I believe that the man is the master technician that he usually says he is, but this one I think he screwed up. I think this one he is really really tried to overthink here.
I'm with you, man. And if you guys have kept up with Chase Owens Twitter, man, my man's in there at 4 o'clock in the morning working out. He's taking this shit real serious.
Yep. Shout out to Chase, you know.
Right, 4 in the morning.
Texas heavyweight champion right there, you know. He's living
on,
he's
on one this
he's,
year, man.
He's living what he is right now. He's in there 4 a.m. getting the work done. Let's go.
And he knows that there was that time when Yano was a vicious MMA fighter. I mean, this is a guy who is one of the most violent players for a reason. He hasn't done it in a long time, and so it's entirely possible Chase is going to have that upper hand just remembering that and knowing to be prepared for it. It definitely is going to be a fun match. Also that night, Okada is going to be taking on Jeff Cobb. Those two always have a phenomenal, phenomenal chemistry together. And then the main event, Hiroshi Tanahashi, the new King of America, going to be defending the IWGP United States Heavyweight title against Kota Ibushi. So that's going to be just a hell of a night one. I mean, Tanahashi, Ibushi, Cobb, Okada, and then all of the title matches. That sounds like a good time. And then we're going to do it all over again the next night on September 5th. You're going to have Kanemaru and Desperado challenging ELP and Ishimori for the junior tag belts. You're going to have a three-way match for the IWGP tag titles with Naito and Sonata and Yoshihashi and Goto challenging Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. Robbie Eagle's going to be taking on the returning Hiromu Takahashi, and the match is still going. Shingo Takagi versus Evil is still supposed to happen. Shingo did test positive for COVID earlier in the month, was pulled off a number of shows, but it does sound like he is still going to be at Wrestle Grand Slam. But I got to know what you think, Tama, as we head towards this IWGP heavyweight title match. This is the first Evil Shingo match that they've been able to have since Shingo. Since Evil left LIJ to join Bullet Club. What do you think of kind of the road Evil's been on? He's already broken the IWGP World Heavyweight title to Takagi's chagrin. He's really bringing out, I think, a side that people wanted to see last year in when he first joined Bullet Club. What do you think his chances are heading into the MetLife Dome?
Oh, very, very good chances, man. I think Evil is just coming into being Evil. Yep. I think this is the Evil we've been looking for. I'm sorry to say, even when he was in LIJ, there was something that even when he was with, what's his name that doesn't want to get over? What's the tag partner?
Oh, Sonata. Yeah.
Sonata. There's something missing. I think Evil coming into Bullet Club was just the beginning of him becoming Evil. And we're going to see it. I want to see this with Shingo because these two are pounders, man. These two, I like, they're both like the same size, heavy. It's going to be heavy, man. I like it. I want to see it, man. I'm anxious for this one.
There's also this added, there's added gravity to it now that, I mean, essentially the IWGP world, there are two IWGP world titles right now. You got Will Ospreay running around saying he's the real champion. Meanwhile, Shingo Takagi is defending it in Japan. And so I feel like that puts more kind of pressure on Takagi and Evil to deliver, to say that this is the title. This is the world. Don't believe what you're hearing from the mouthy Brit. This is the real IWGP world title. And so I feel like that extra, that those extra stakes are, they're not being talked about as much because New Japan doesn't want to be like, hey, there's another world champion out there, but it's there. It's hanging over everything like a dark cloud.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ross. There's only one and that's out in Japan, and that's where it is. Right, Tim? That's where there's only one champ.
I got to agree. At the end of the day, it's show and prove time for both those guys. For Evil, a lot of the things that Thomas said are true. You know, like, hey, take that muzzle off. Be Evil. Be that guy. You know, show that you be that guy. And Will, if you want to claim a throne, come prove it. Mm-hmm. Come take it. That's all you got. It's easy. Just do it. Yeah. You know, come stake your claim. Mm-hmm. And if you are, we'll see.
Will being a little bitch running around America. I'm the real champion. I'm the real champion. Oh, there's a G1 next month. I don't want to be in the G1, but I'm the real champion. Shut the hell up. If you were the real champion, you come into the G1 and do your thing instead of trying to bitch out and run around America doing the indies, fighting against the nobodies. I ain't shit. Why don't you come on to the main roster and get your ass handed to you? But that's
Come prove it. Come prove it. You want to stake claim, come prove it because you can get the smoke.
Getting spicy, Tama. You're getting spicy with Ospreay there. Some sparks. Sparks.
I'm just peppering in a little truth with a little spice, little salt and pepper on it. You know, that's all. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. There's a G1 on one out of the corner, right? There's a G1 around the corner. I already put up. I said, hey, let me get in this G1. I feel like it's that time. Somebody who claims to be the real champ doesn't want to be in a G1 where everybody knows that the G1 is where you come to prove it. You ain't won no real G1 yet, Will Ospreay. You haven't won a G1. You're running around saying, if you're a real champ, real champs win the G1. That's the truth. Got to prove it, man. You got to run through that G1 gauntlet. That's a month. That's a tour. And you've got a town to town to town to town kicking ass. You haven't done that, Will. Shut the hell up.
Well, to be fair, he has.
Hey, Ross, nobody asked you for your opinion.
I was gonna say is to be fair, he has done the G1. He just hasn't won the G1.
That's what I'm saying.
He's done the tour.
Nobody cares about second place. You can't run around. I did the G1. Yeah, but did you win it? No. Until you get to the G1 and win it, you're the man. Yeah.
At least get to the finals. Get to the finals, then we'll talk about
nobody
real
gives
champion.
A fuck about no finals. You got to win it. This ain't 2012 finals. All right, Carl Anderson, relax. All right?
I tried. Relax. I as long as the record shows, I tried. As long as the record
I tried to do my journalism job and be somewhat impartial. Then yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine.
But to be fair, there's a lot of truth in that.
There we go.
All right. So yeah, it does feel like it's going to be a big loaded weekend between AEW, New Japan, all the stuff that's going on in wrestling right now. But folks, we talk about wrestling a lot, and I feel like there's only so much previewing we can do. I want to get to the man of the hour. I want to get to our guest right now. Because, like, yes, Tim, you've got a lot of, I think, very good opinions about wrestling. You've been a fun part of the conversation. But I want to pick your brain a little bit.
Let's go, man. Open book right here.
Because, like, I'm someone who has watched wrestling. I've covered some stuff, but you've left marks all over the wrestling business with your music. I mean, let's be real about it. You've made some pretty damn good entrance themes. And how did you kind of get? How did music and wrestling kind of combine for you? Where did that crossroads come up?
For the longest time, it's always been something that's been in the back of my mind. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up a pro wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I had ins and outs with it, but for the most part, for the majority of my life, you know, whether it's, you know, it was, you know, back in the 90s and then in the mid to late 2000s and then whenever the internet, you know, became readily, and I could, like, oh, New Japan, I can, you know, YouTube, I can watch all these things and get my fix from exactly what I'm looking for, right? You know, it wasn't like, oh, this is what it is, and this is the only thing you have, and if it's not speaking to you, too bad. It's like, oh, I can find these other avenues now, and just it happens on a global scale, right? Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, I've always been a fan, like I said, and as my music career went on, I always thought it would be something that it would be cool to be involved in. You know, I always wanted to be involved in pro wrestling in some way, shape, or form. You know, obviously being a professional wrestler wasn't in the cards at all. So, you know, it's like, well, how do I play my part in that? And then it was, well, you know, musically would be incredible if I could have an opportunity like that. Now, at that point, it was how I go about that. I don't know. You know, I'd had some music placed on some WWE programming on the network with the Breaking Ground show about the guys in NXT and everything like that. But, you know, that was completely different, completely separate from anything like this. And then my years are all messed up now.
Let me just jump on that, because you said you did the work for the Breaking Ground. Was that like kind of like incidental, like score music, or what was okay, so it wasn't like entrance music. It was just you know, some inserts here and there. Gotcha.
I had some music that I'd sent to some people, and then it ended up getting placed in there. So it was cool. But I did reach out to them and tell them, like, hey, listen, you know, and if you guys would ever need any other work from me, you know, be more than happy to go about that. And this probably would have been, I don't know, 2014, 15, maybe, I think, okay, something like that. Whenever that show had aired. And of course, you know, they never reach back out to you on anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they do their thing. But then fast forward a couple of years, and I get a random email from a mutual friend of Tom and I, someone that we both know. Okay. And it was, hey, I'm working with a friend of mine on some things, and Tom would know exactly what those things were and all that, you know. It was just kind of like vague to me. But it was, hey, working with a friend of mine, he's a professional wrestler in Japan. He's looking for new entrance music. And, you know, I'm familiar with the work you've done with artists and all, you know, the placements you have and all that kind of thing. And I figured I'd just reach out. I don't know if it's something you'd be interested in doing, but, you know, if it is, you know, could you let me know? And then he told me, you know, the wrestler is Tama Tonga. And he'd had no clue that, one, I was a Tama Tonga fan. Two, you know, I was aware of Bullet Club and New Japan Pro Wrestling and, you know, all the things that they've been doing for the previous couple of years. So I'm sitting there, and I remember I was checking my email on my phone. I'm looking at him like, damn, this is real. I was like, okay, cool. So I just hit him back. I was like, man, I'd love to give it a shot, you know, just kind of. And then he linked Tama and I up, and then me and him start talking back and forth. And, you know, he lets me know what he's looking for, what's going on. You know, him and I develop a friendship from it, and I get to know him a little better. He gets to know me better. And I want to say I made maybe four or five ideas that I sent you. And one of them, you were like, yeah, this is it. Cool. Boom, boom, done.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, bet. Everything was cool. Everything moving forward. And then this was for a solo for you. And then time goes by, but then you and your brother are hot. You're champs, you know, you're kind of pushing through with the tag team and you weren't doing much solo work. So that kind of got pushed to the side. And then you hit me probably, we'd kept in touch, but you hit me probably like a year, year and a half later.
Yep.
And we're like, hey, what's going on with these other ones that you sent me? And I was like, man, they're just in a folder off to the side if we ever wanted to revisit them. And then you said, I think if I remember correctly, the title of it was Loyalty. And you were like, hey, this loyalty joint, like, I think it would be great for me and my brother. And I want to debut it at Wrestle Kingdom. And I was like, let's fucking go. It's on. And then it was just, I wanted to say it was like beginning of December when you hit me with that. And then, you know, we had to like get a couple more moving parts and I had to get some other stuff done. And then it was boom and it's done and it's out. And that was just kind of like my, like, here it is, you know? And
with that time frame, I gotta know how close up to Wrestle Kingdom were you? Is this like the Kanye listening parties where it's like Jay-Z recorded this at 4 p.m. We're debuting it tonight.
Man, I was honestly the final version that you hear now, it is instrumentally is exactly what it was, other than me adding the air raid siren. I added that because I was like, it needs something. There's got to be something here that's going to put it over the top. And it was that. So that was the one that was approved out the gate. Boom. And then the only thing he asked me for was, hey, can you put an intro on it? And can we maybe get a hook on it? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I had some grand ideas for the hook, like that I was going to call in some favors and get a certain somebody on it. And it was going to be, he doesn't know this at all. Cause I was like, I didn't want to like, Tom will be like, get disappointed or anything. So I was gonna call him some favor. But then I started looking at the time frame and I'm like, okay, it would take X amount of days to get the response from him or to even get the favor in. It would take X amount of days for him to get the verse back. We would have to clear it with the label. We would have to clear it with Tama, clear it with New Japan. I was like, I do not have the time for this. There is no way. I was like, so I quickly reined myself back in. And luckily I found a dope artist here who I'd worked with before. And I was like, hey man, I think you've got the energy for this idea I've got. Like, can you come in and lay down these vocals real quick? And thankfully he did. And it worked out great.
Nice. Dope ass track, man. That, you know, here's, you know, when we first linked up, my thing was solo. I was going solo. And then I think my brother came in like a year later. And then that's the thing about the wrestling business, man. It's always turning.
It's all timing.
Yeah. Always. And so luckily he's already had stuff in the pocket. You know, he had four or five tracks already ready. And all we needed was just tweaking here and there. At the beginning, I just gave him my vibe, what I listened to, what I imagined myself walking out to. And then the rest was just him like putting it all together. And then we just back and forth. And that time, I remember right before our Wrestle Kingdom entrance, we were on that tour. It was the last tour before this whole, you know, before we had before Wrestle Kingdom. And I was stressing out because we had, you know, not only do we have to figure it out, but then we got to get it to be cleared by New Japan and by their lawyers and by this and that, where they can, like, then people got to sign and we got to go back and forth and be like, I can't sign this. I can't sign that. And I'm like, yo, I mean, we're going to have this. It's mad stressful.
And I assume while all of this is going on, there's some poor soul making a visual for this that's supposed to go up on the screen.
There's so many moving parts.
That was the other part. So the video that went with this track, you know, so we still had to make that. So that was under crunch. And we, I mean,
Like, it's like that. I gotta, everybody has to be on their toes. Everything's gotta be done. There's no laid back, chilling, waiting for things. Everything has to be done. And it's mostly, I think with New Japan, their biggest thing is just trying to understand. They want everything theirs and in-house. And it's hard to bring somebody from the outside and you know, especially a foreigner that's not Japanese. And so they're like, it's very trust. It's just, it's strange for them. So getting that, and then like having things translated. So there was a part there where we were like, all right, it came down to, okay, we'll give it to you, New Japan. You can have all rights to it in Japan, but let us have all rights for it in America and anywhere else, you know? So it came, but it was a fucking bitch to get through, but luckily we got it through. And I love that soundtrack. People like hit me up all the time, how much they love that. They listen to it. Even like here on Twitch chat, people listen to it in the morning, get them hyped before they get going. Yeah. It's that kind of track. It gets you going, man. You don't need no coffee or pre-workout before then, man. You know, yeah, get going.
The love has been like overwhelmingly like positive. It's been insane. It's been super humbling. Like people reaching out to me, like,
yeah,
like, man, this is like, I love this. I'm so glad you did this for them. And even ones who kind of, one of the best compliments that I've gotten is from the people who really loved their previous theme. Mm-hmm. And then, cause they'll say like, oh man, that's one of my favorite themes of all time, but it's always followed up with, but this is incredible. So I'm like, okay, because that was one of my main concerns, is like, this theme has to get over.
Yep.
Like if this theme doesn't get over, like I haven't done my job. Because if I'm working with a specific artist, right, it's all about moments and harnessing moments and creating moments. It's okay, what are you going through? What, you know, how do you feel today? What do you feel today? What do you want to write about? What are you going through? Okay, that'd be a dope concept. Let's go off that. I got some music to accompany that gives off that feeling. And then we write and we live off that moment that we've created. And then we connect that moment to the listener in whatever, you know, this guy will connect to it different from this guy, who will connect to it different from this girl. They can apply it in their own lives, right? Mm-hmm. Well, with this, it was, okay, this moment I have to, I don't like these people. I don't want them to, they can't connect with me.
Yep.
It's to connect with them. Mm-hmm. This is this has to be a direct, the way I approached it was, this has to be a direct extension of GOD. Because if you're a first time watcher, if you're a long time watcher, if you're a long time fan, if it's your first time at Wrestle Kingdom and you're excited to see GOD, your first connection with them isn't them. Mm-hmm. You hear me. Mm-hmm. But it's got to immediately connect to them, not to me. And I was like, if I can get that across, and that's why it took so much care with, especially it, making sure I was hitting up Tom. I'm like, listen, my first questions out the gate were, what are you listening to right now? What do you love to listen to? What gets you amped up? What do you see yourself? How do you envision yourself coming out? Because this has to immediately directly connect to that. And if not, then I haven't done my job.
Wow. Yeah.
No, nah, you
went deep, boy. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So we get deep here, man. Yeah, and we're in wrestling. Like, and I like that you go deep into the music, connected to wrestling. This is what I'm talking about, man. We're going deep. We're scuba diving here on the island. Let's go.
I love the kind of way you broke it down like that, because I don't think a lot of wrestling fans realize what a juggling act entrance music is. Because like with a song, some songs can be anthems, some songs can get you hyped up, some songs can connect you to someone. But with an entrance music, it has to do all three. Like it can't, mm-hmm. you can't skimp on any of it. Like, yes,
no.
there are some entrance songs that might not, you know, get you hyped to make it your workout playlist. But if you really pay attention, they still have that drive to them. They still have that anthemic kind of larger than life appeal that not a lot of songs have. And it's
when you listen to that track Everybody and their mother knows that's not a nobody in the wrestling business made that shit. Nobody. Yep. Hey, everybody knows. The boys even asked that. Who made it? Did the company made that? I said, hell motherfucking no, did they make that shit? Me?
Well, nah, like you, nah.
And let me tell you something. All right. Oh, and another thing. The hook, man, it gets people in. The hook gets people singing with it. And Tim did a beautiful job with this whole entire track. And gotta give a shout out to Cassius Keys, man, the guy who sang that hook. His voice, man. Look, I'm a DMX fan. All right. I love DMX. I grew up on DMX. And that voice was like, it gives me chills right now, thing, because it reminded me of DMX. And the whole man, when you hear that, it's like it's gritty, man. It's so gritty. I love that shit.
But it also it's like Tim said, it immediately makes you think of you and your brother. Like and I think this is one of the areas that song has done a real good job of conveying. Like, have you ever seen that meme where people are like, "I believe that Big Show sang his theme song"? You know, like there are people who, when they hear the Big Show theme song, they don't care who actually sang it. They believe that that's Big Show's voice. I feel like that's kind of the same way with G.O.D. and the Firing Squad. Like, you would believe that it's Tom and his brother yelling "Ain't nobody realer than Gorillaz."
Yes.
On the track. Even if it's not, like, now that I've talked to both of them and I've heard their speaking voice, I'm like, no, they're not singing that song, but the song still makes me think of them. You know what I mean?
I still believe it. It's little details like that. Yep. They make a world of difference, right? Like, if I have this person or that person do it instead, like, it might not connect the same way. It's it's knowing, like, okay, this is what it needs to make it exactly what it is, which is why, you know, the 808's so heavy in that song, which is why I put the air raid siren in there, which is why you hear the marching in there, which is why you hear all the, you know, the gun cocks and the explosion. Like, these, all these little details are little pieces of them that I pulled from either having conversation or just knowing their wrestling style or knowing where they've been, where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Beautiful.
That's cool. I gotta ask, since we're talking music, we're talking process, Tim, who are I don't want to say your guys, but I want to be Marc Maron about this, but who are like your inspirations? Who are kind of the people that really get you in front of the track in the morning?
Man, over the years, I've had so many, you know, there's especially just in the production world. You know, when I was younger, it was guys like, you know, Rick Rubin and Dr. Dre and Timbaland and all these just kind of legendary guys, you know, Pharrell, Swiss, you know. And then, but as I, when I really started to, go that direction myself, you know, as I got older, like, hey, like this music shit is something that, like, I'm really into, maybe I should kind of pursue it. It was guys like my mentor, Marcus Dietre, who is still to this day one of the best producers I've ever known and one of the most underrated ever. It's guys like my friend Lee Major, who's worked with everybody from Jay-Z and Rick Ross to John Legend and Mary J. Blige and Jadakiss and Bryson Tiller and like all these incredible people who've inspired me. And even current guys now who, like, if you look at people like 40, who does a lot of Drake stuff, even Tyler, the Creator, his production, Jack Antonoff, who's more in the pop realm, but all of Jack's work. Jack is incredible to me.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Exactly. But a lot of times I'll mention his name, people are like, I have no idea who that is. Like, go look at the discography, you know, like
he's like that Swedish guy from the 90s. Like, you don't know his name, but you've heard every single one of his songs.
Max Martin, right?
That's the guy. Yep.
And who just did The Weeknd's new single.
Yep. Exactly.
Like, you know, Max has spanned decades. He's another one who I look at and I'm just like, this guy, you know, you see certain people and you're like, this person is doing exactly what they were put on this planet to do, you know, and he's one of those guys. Tom is one of those guys. You know, it's like you see people and it's like, wow, you're really like you not everybody figures it out. Not everybody has it all figured out. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just look and you're like, yep, that's it. And you know, all the guys I mentioned are people like that, where it's like you were put on this planet to do that. And they're all people who have, at the end of the day, inspired me too.
Ooh. Love it. I can't think of a better note to end on than that kind of inspiration. That's beautiful, Tim. Thank you so much, Tim. Yeah, before we like throw to all your social media stuff, where's some of the other because I know you've worked on some other themes over the course of your tenure. What else have you been working on? Throw out some names.
I don't want to like speak on too much right now, but because okay. I get asked a lot. Like, hey, like. When are we going to hear new themes from you? Like, what are you working on right now? Like, can you do a theme for so-and-so? And I'm like, well, it doesn't really work that way, you know, but I am working on new themes, multiple new themes. And I can say that I hope that you all get to hear them very, very soon.
I like that.
Hell yeah. All
right, because well, I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to take anything away from the business. So no, like,
I'm not trying to get you in trouble here. I'm just letting you preview some stuff if you want to preview. But once people do hear those songs, where can they find you on social media?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram. It's no_name_Tim. Actually that's my Twitter, no_name_Tim. Instagram is no_name_Tim because for some reason you can't have one or the other on one of the other ones. And so I can't keep it consistent. And no name Tim is taken by somebody who doesn't post on their account. And I can't get it back. So
damn it. Other Tim.
Right. Exactly.
Damn it. No name Tim.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, who is it? And I've reached out and tried to get it. And they're just like, nah, we can't do that.
He doesn't.
Like, this guy has never posted before. So it's no_name_Tim on Twitter. no_name_Tim on Instagram. Websites, nonametim.com, emails, officialnonametim@gmail.com. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think this is the first time someone's dropped their email when I've asked them for all their social. you're a brave, brave man, Tim.
Hey, man. You know, at the end of the day, my inbox fills up quick, but you know, it is what it is. You know?
Absolutely, Tama. Where can they find you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter, Tama_Tonga. You can find me on Instagram. What is my Instagram? The good bad guy, Tama Tonga. And you know what? I'm going to do it first. You can find me on TikTok. I'm about to get wild on TikTok. That's a huge deal now. People, all right? Tama Tonga, 1111, I think.
He's like, I'm going to give you my TikTok. I think I'm about to give it to you.
So I'm going to try to figure out this TikTok thing. Y'all going to see some dance routines and some shit. happening all over the place.
what you're saying is No Name Tim isn't the only one who's got to email someone about getting their job.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Tom,
how about you, Ross? What can they find you, man?
At Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, rossberman.bandcamp. I'll be dropping new music sometime this fall. Until then, there's a whole bunch of other music to listen at rossberman.bandcamp. Go buy it. This has been a fantastic. Yeah. Thank you again, Tim, for joining us for a great, great hour.
Man, thank you again so much, man. I appreciate both of you. And man, let's do this again. You know,
yes.
Anytime, you know, you guys know where to find me.
Beautiful, man. Ross, thank you very much. Tim, thank you again. Guys, everyone on Twitch, thank you for joining us on the chat. I'm watching you guys talk this shit, man. It's great. Everyone, enjoy your week. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Get your shots, man. Let's get the world back on track. Rock and roll. Thank you very much, guys. You guys have enjoy your week.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island and visit @Thomas Island on Instagram and Twitter.